Welcome to this episode of SMP Stories. I'm your host, Director of Training, Ryan Coyman. And with me here today, coming to us from our Canadian Distribution Center, is Robert Sergiu. Welcome, Robert.
Hey, thank you for having me on your show.
Awesome. Well, thanks for volunteering and jumping in here, and we look forward to actually hearing some more from you in the future. So your current role is that you're a warehouse supervisor. I believe you're one of several at that location. Is that correct?
Yes, I am one of, we only have two here, right? So the other one is Pauline. She's been here for like 25 years, but I just recently made it a year, 3 months.
Okay. Well, welcome to the team and congratulations on your role there. So you already answered my first question of how long you've been with the company, but tell us a little bit about the role of a warehouse supervisor.
Well, as I came here, I had to learn what everybody do before I can even tend to make suggestions and change anything up from the routine that the people here are accustomed to. So I would come in and introduce myself and work with each team member to see what they can do and make my notes. So later on, I can streamline what they do to make it more efficient. From my experience, I've been in a lot of major startups and some major companies, and I learned a lot. And I always could add value to anywhere that I go in the future.
No, that's great. So you've learned stuff and you've brought it to your current role, and you're currently learning more stuff while you're here, right?
Yes. You know, everybody does receiving, picking, packing, and shipping, but everybody tweaks it to their product or whatever they need to get from it. So in every case, every new job, you'll have the basics, but there's so much to learn how they do it.
Absolutely. So what are some companies that you worked for before coming to SMP?
I worked for Schenker of Canada, and then I worked for Walmart when they first came to Canada. I was one of the first managers they hired. I worked also for the Hudson Bay and DHL.
Okay. So you've got a broad range of experience and, yeah, some big logistics companies between DHL and Walmart, et cetera. So probably learned some great lessons that you're sharing with the team here.
Oh, definitely. It's a lot. Like I did a lot of hands-on training, also in-house, in-class training also. You know, dealing with conflict resolution, dealing with different people of different backgrounds, how to reach out to people and, you know, make them feel that all of us is trying to attain the same goal, creating a friendly work environment, and all these good things to improve our production and productivity, right?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm sure they appreciate your input there. So what does a typical day look like for you?
At SMP, when I come in, I started with doing a team meeting with everybody at 9. Some of the staff, they start at 8, so my shift starts at 9. So when the 9 a.m. team comes in, everybody's there. So when we deliver the message, everybody's getting the same message at the same time. Is when you do two different meetings, some of the message gets, it doesn't reach as how it should be. So if everybody's saying, hearing the same thing, at least it's one team. They know what our goals are for that day. And also the results from the day before. So, you know, everybody keeping in their mind, okay, you know, we did so much yesterday. We need to get ahead today, or we are ahead and we can go ahead and do other things that needs getting done, you know, especially in a busy season.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, I'm sure very important to have that consistency across the entire team there and make sure everybody's working towards the same goal really at the end of the day.
Definitely.
And getting the products out to our customers there. So that's awesome. So there's got to be different times of the season that are busier or slower for your distribution center. Is that correct?
Yes, definitely. We had a big busy season, and before I got here, it was a lot of spending on getting employees to match the production that we needed to get out. It was really cost effective for us. But since this year that I was here, we didn't go through that. We had last year before I came, they hired a team called a SWAT team. But this year we didn't need them because we did advanced planning. We did a little reprofiling of the warehouse with some help from Dwayne's team that came here. And we streamlined the way we pick and stage and backfill orders that missing items and then shipping it out. So we made a great improvement, I think, this time around. Just by not having the SWAT team in here, we saving at least averagely around $10,000 a month. This busy season, we didn't have them. We had everything going out on scheduled time. And it was a big achievement for everyone in the plant because, they know how the hustle is for day-to-day when we are busy. And, with the overtime, working on the weekends and stuff like that, right? So we try to have a family life, too, for the people working here.
That's very important to have that balance, right?
Yeah.
No,
it's good to show them that, S&P cares, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, there is life outside of work. And quite often we get so busy and wrapped up and it's easier to lose sight of that. But it's very important to keep it at the forefront here. So no, that's good. So where are you guys shipping product to? I mean, throughout Canada, but is it one brand or multiple brands or multiple customers?
Yeah, well, it's all of those you said. It's everything that we have multiple brands. We have standard, and we have all the brake line, the compressors. So it's a bunch of different things we ship, and it's throughout Canada to all the parts place. We are constantly getting new customers also, so we gotta try to step our game up and make sure we service all of them. So we don't lose no business, right? Because the more we acquire, to make us number one in the world, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, so it's different than in the U.S. where, primarily vehicle control is coming out of Disputanta or temp control coming out of Louisville. Now, obviously, that's going to change here shortly, but you guys are all things to all people up there.
Yeah, because everybody ships to us. And we have to ship to other people. That's how it goes here because, we don't, manufacture anything here. We just distribute.
Yep.
And I think we have a new customer coming online. It'll be Canadian Tire. So looking forward to that. I mean, it'll be very interesting,
Absolutely. And so do you guys ever have to do repackaging there? Like the compressors come and then you have to put it in a Napa temp or a Four Seasons box or something like that?
Yes, definitely. Actually, most of the stuff coming, we have to repackage it. So it's a lot of repackaging. We have a one area that we streamline to make it more efficient too. Everything is a project, right? So I mean getting the box in and repackaging them after picking the order and then shipping them to each of our customers. It's really some days time consuming to be repackaging, but that's what it's called, right? The business is needed, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's job security, right? There's always something for you to be doing there. You guys have a little bit of an additional challenge with the eastern side of Canada with the French stuff. And do we have to package different for that or installation guidelines or stuff like that? Have to be trilingualized or printed in French?
Sometimes we have to, because sometimes when we get the product, they might not put the two languages in it, or sometimes they have no languages. Sometimes we have to put both English and French.
You already mentioned Dwayne, but do you interact with others inside the company? Which other teams, or I'm guessing you probably work with some of the sales team and some of that kind of stuff as well?
Yeah, we have our sales team here, and then even customer service, we have our own customer service here also. So we deal with everybody. Like I learned a lot of people to remember everybody's names. It's a lot, but like dealing with them and even the carriers and the customers, because we even have our own EO department, right? So a lot of people come to pick up stuff. Even the sales reps, then they come in to grab some stuff to go. Like it's really different challenges, but the concept I've learned is to pay attention to what's happening around you and make your notes. You know, to be successful in anything, you have to always have that notes to go back to before you do something to be really productive.
For sure. And for our listeners who might not understand all the acronyms, EO stands for emergency order. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. The customers, they will send it through. Even like maybe an hour before they come to pick it up. Our cutoff time is like 4:30. So from you coming at 8, you'll be picking customer orders. And then we ship it out by Purelina and Cardinal also. So we pick in for customers coming by the door and also like rush packages, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm sure, you know, for those who aren't familiar with Mississauga, it's just outside of the Toronto area, correct?
Yes, it's between, it's like in the middle, Toronto, then you got Brampton on one side, Hamilton on the other side, you know, Barrie on the other side. It just plays right.
Yep. And so I'm sure a lot of the customers in that area take advantage of being able to quick swing by and pick it up.
Oh, yeah, but every day, daily, they come for stuff. So it's always on the go.
Wow. Yeah, so that adds an additional element of trickiness or headaches, I guess, in some cases, too.
I don't want to really say headaches, but, you know, challenges.
Opportunities. How's that?
Opportunity. I agree with that.
Yeah, and so some days you're loading a truck and you're heading it out west to Vancouver or Calgary or something, but other days it's just picking that one part for the emergency order that, you know, somebody's going to come pick up at the door.
Definitely. I mean, we have a little tugger we drive around. Well, the girls or the guys, whoever is in EO, they drive around and they pick stuff because sometimes the customer just put the order and they show up already. And, you know, like we try to, once it comes in the printer, we try to grab it and put it on the shelves. As soon as somebody comes, we have it waiting and ready, right?
Yep.
You know, because we know how it goes. They place the order. They might have a customer waiting and they're sore for it, right? So we got to do our part to get to them as quickly as possible so they can take it to their shop to get to their customers. That's
correct.
Pleasing everybody, right?
Yeah. It's a lot more than just handing him the part. There's got to be tracking and invoicing and all that kind of stuff that goes with it here. So. Well, a lot of efforts go to helping somebody put a new part on an old car.
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you don't want no complaints. That's what a good customer service team would do. No complaints, right? I mean, yeah. It's not without saying there's zero complaints. You know, you always have an 80-20 rule, right? So.
For sure. So tell us a little bit about Robert and your personal story, where you grew up, maybe some family information here, and, you know, what do you enjoy doing outside of work? As you mentioned, family life is important here, and so, you know, what makes Robert Robert?
Well, I came here from Trinidad in 1988, and I was only 19 at the time. I didn't know my dad. I only have my mom. And I grew up with my grandparents, my grandpa, my grandma, and my two aunties. But when I came here, I didn't really know anybody. I was looking at back home. I was saying, like, you know, like, back home, my transportation was like a bicycle. But my friends, them, they were well off, so they had cars. So, like, everybody going to hang out, you'd see me pedaling my bicycle, but they would drive up in their car, you know. So when I came to Canada, I think to myself, you know, here I can make a future. I see so much things that I know I can be successful at. And I went into warehousing. The first company I ever worked for is an American company called BRK, or First Alert. They did fire extinguishers, smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, safety for homes, for your family. And from there, I saw an ad in the newspaper and I applied for it. And it was for when Walmart first came to Canada. And I was the first supervisor they hired. And 2.5 months in, they made me a manager. And from there, my career took off. I was the operation manager when I left there. The reason I left, my mom, she got sick and it was only her. So I left Canada and I went back to Trinidad. I think it was around 2002, around there. And then, you know, she passed away. So while I was down there, I was working for Ministry of Education. And they sent me on a couple, like really good courses for the government. One of them was heavy machinery. So I get to learn how to operate cranes and excavators and those tractor trailers and stuff like that. There were 19 students and I got the award for most outstanding student and I got a medal and a trophy for it, for my accomplishments. After that, I met my wife presently now. Her name is Natasha. We were back home and she was a mechanic. So she was working for the bus company and I was working for Ministry of Education. But you know, the salary still wasn't there. We were still living paycheck to paycheck. So I tell her, you know, let's get married and I'll put through your papers and we both come back to Canada. So in 2011, I came back to Canada and then her papers came through. So she came in 2012. And from then, both of us, she started working for Mazda. And presently, she's the only female master tech in the country.
Awesome.
And yeah, I mean, like,
congratulations.
Thanks. What we've done from 2012 to now, it's amazing. I mean, everything is done by the grace of God. I got really good jobs. She did really well in her field. We bought a house. We bought another house. We bought a few cars. Well, you know, the maintenance of the cars will be done for free because she does it. So we were able to get like two nice high-end cars and like a couple of everyday cars. Because our passion is like car shows and drag racing.
Awesome.
And she has a Porsche and I have a BMW. And no matter what happens, she fixes them. I don't have to take it nowhere. My BMW is so fast. Like I didn't think it could be at that level where you see these guys racing on the track at. So like we would go to the track and her and my interest, like we always together.
I'd love to meet your wife. She's like a very talented person here and quite an amazing success story of her own.
I mean, like her company put her up on their website, on their Facebook, and she's in the catalogs and stuff. She goes to schools and promote the field of mechanics to new students to encourage them. I mean, her company, they recognize her for her great achievement. I mean, like she got interested in it from her dad for the struggle that you know, when we went through together to be where we at. I came to this company and, you know, like a lot of companies you can work for, but a lot of companies you can, there's a few that you can call your own. I feel here that my contribution is being recognized, you know, and well appreciated. I mean, like, you know, everybody loves to hear that they're doing a good job, you know. When I reached out to you to ask if I could be part of your team, I mean, everybody here, they were happy to see someone interested to be part of this. I mean, this story, like, I've been following you since you've been doing it. And you hear the stories of people and where they've been and where they come to now. It's such an amazing story. Even this podcast, it's amazing to share these stories to everyone in our company. Let them know, you know, like all of us has a type of struggle. It wouldn't be the same struggle, but it'd be a type of struggle. But at the end of it, there is that silver line that, you know, once we dedicate to our profession and give it our all, it will be recognized and, you know, bring our company to the forefront of being the best of the best.
Absolutely. No, it's a great company and it's made up of great people. And that's what really makes it great.
I recently spoke to Bill. I can't remember his last name, but he does, like, you know, like when we're doing projects and stuff. And I mean, like yesterday I met him for the first time and I felt like I'm going so long, you know, you know, and even you, I'm first time I'm talking with you, I'm seeing you. And I mean, like, it has that timorality, you know,
it's yeah, really absolutely. Good. Yep. We're all in this together, right? And we support each other and they're, you know, we can't do it without one department or the other. And that's what's really cool about this company and great people working together to achieve great things.
You know, it's a you know, like people talk the talk, but they don't actually walk it. But I seen where the owner, he came to our site like twice and, you know, they treat you like a person, you know, not a number. So they'll come and say hi to you, shake your hand, talk to you, ask you how you're going, even ask you about your family. You know, it makes a difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you come from Trinidad. That explains the accent. Doesn't say you don't sound like the typical Canadian people. I know. You haven't said A after everything yet. So it's you've had to deal with a little bit of weather change, though, or climate change there, right?
I've been here for so long, at least about 35 years, right? And you wouldn't believe I wear 3-quarter shorts all the way to January. I love the cold. My hobbies and my wife, we love fishing and hunting and shooting, outdoor stuff, right? And, you know, you got to do it in the winter here too. That's the only way to experience the real life, right?
Yep. Well, and I'm sure you enjoy some ice fishing along the way.
Oh, I've been to Newfoundland and did moose hunting, rabbit hunting. So those are the birds that fly up in there and you shoot, you know. Now I do a lot of fly fishing now.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm just west of you here in Michigan, and I've been here my whole life, and I'm sick of the cold, so I'll keep sending it, you know, blowing it across your direction.
Then to repay the favor, one day I'll take you and your family back to Trinidad for some of that nice weather, you know.
I would love it. I love it. Yeah. Now we'll have to catch up here one of these days and enjoy some outdoors, you know, in one of our areas here for sure.
So. Definitely. If ever you come over here in the summertime, you can stay by me. We do some stuff. Don't worry.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, and especially I want to take a ride in one of those fast cars or drive them, you know, being a car guy myself, it's right up my alley.
Oh, that'd be nice. That'd be really cool because, like, if you want, we can take it to the track. There's a racetrack in Hamilton. It's not too far from here, close to our other location in London. Yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice if ever you come, not a problem.
No, I'd like to meet your wife because my wife made me sell all my drag racing stuff years ago. So yours already, you know, is high up on that list for me here.
Oh, man, I would tell her you say that because I tell her about you all the time.
No,
you know, I tell her, I said, you know, one guy, his name is Ryan, and he's in the States, and he's doing this podcast. And, you know, I really want to join his team. Like, his stories from the people is amazing. And, you know, the way you do it, you actually live it like when they're talking it, you know, kind of thing.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, like in the moment.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So when you listen to some music, I don't know if you get a chance to listen to it in the warehouse or you're, you know, you're sitting in the stream fly fishing. What kind of music do you typically listen to?
So we can't listen to the floor anymore. We had a couple of team members who was abusing and pretending to listen to music.
It's a safety thing.
But for me, our country is known for its soca, you know, the carnival. Yeah, so I love soca. When I go fishing or even when I'm going to race my car, that's the music I listen to. You know, it hypes you up, man. You go to Carabana in Canada, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's great.
So even that is something. If you come, or like I know the promoters, and then we would go backstage, meet everybody. We have a wonderful time.
All right. Well, we'll have to find a way to make this happen. I'm looking forward to it.
In August month, it'll be great. You come in August anytime.
Perfect. So outside of this, any personal goals or achievements that you're currently working on? Or you've had quite a few achievements so far. I mean, you know, from where you've been, the guy riding a bike to where you are today, certainly been blessed. But any additional goals or achievements you'd like to share with the audience?
You know, I'm hoping to, at SMP, I want to travel to other facilities. And, like, I'm really good at, one of my strong points is startups. So I'm really good at that. And, you know, I want to do that. I want to make that my last contribution to this profession. That's what I want to do. That's my goal.
All right. Well, good. Yeah. Look forward to following along as you progress along that as well here. So, well, that kind of wraps up our time here already, Robert. That goes quick. And that's what I love about this, that time goes fast hearing these people's stories and getting to know them a little bit better. What final thoughts would you like to pass along to the audience here today?
One of the things I try to do, and I tell everybody, let's try to do it right the first time. If we do it right the first time, there's no way we wouldn't be successful. We'll always be the best of the best.
Well, that's great words to live by. And I'm sure there's lots of planning and thought that goes into doing it right the first time, and as well as training and care. And obviously that pays off in customer satisfaction. Well, thanks for sharing with us your story. And we look forward to hearing you as a guest host here, picking up some of the stories from your coworkers in Canada there as well. And so thanks again to Robert for joining me here today. And for the rest of the listening audience, we hope to see you or hear you soon, and enjoy.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ryan.
SMP Stories.